Greg, everybody. It's the final Agri Talk of Pork Week. We've had riots, we've had rallies, and everything in between. Let's recap with Naomi Bloom and see what's next.
Live from the end of a week that couldn't get any weirder. Wait, I actually probably better not say that. Via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we feature a conversation with Naomi Bloom. She's from Total Farm. And in the final segment, I will update you. The Friday Farm Fuels and Fertilizer Report. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. And now, the Windy City's favorite breath of fresh air from Zaner Ag Hedge, Ted Seifert.
Woo! Happy Friday, buddy. Happy Friday, everybody else. Oh. And wow, what a week this was. Yeah, really happy to be sauntering out of this week finally because, man, it's, you know, I keep asking myself, what else could go wrong? And then something else goes wrong. I got to stop asking that question. I feel like I'm the problem here. I really do.
That might be the trick.
Yeah.
Maybe we start asking, what's going to go right next week? You know, we could go that route.
We're going to tempt fate. We should tempt it with good things rather than bad. I agree with you. Well, absolutely.
Either that or we adopt the Zen model and just say nothing will happen that is good or bad. That's it.
It's just
that's it.
So, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, I don't know, man. Rioting and destruction in my book is always bad. I don't care. that is just not okay.
Yeah.
But we're here. We made it, you know, and hopefully things are starting to get better. And certainly the stock market didn't have any problem with it. So I guess it's all okay. Yeah. I mean,
it really does seem to be. And I got to be honest, I looked at my 401k after not having looked for, a couple of months. You know, the missus is happy. The golden years look a little less tarnished.
It's pork week. Woo!
Yeah.
How do you not rally the stock market on pork week? It's got to rally on pork week, right?
So right. It's just what happens.
Right. Pork week. Woo! So, wow. There we go.
That is some insightful analysis. Yeah.
You know, that's what I'm going to do on the major networks when they call and ask for my analysis.
Oh, you're big time in me now, huh? So we're not a major network to you? Is that what it is, Ted? Is that what I'm hearing?
You know, we don't do international broadcasts of Pork Week yet, but we should. We should work on that.
We should. We really should.
Yes, definitely. 100% yes. But
so what are you going to talk to Naomi about today?
I think pork is definitely in the agenda, don't you think?
Okay. I would think so.
I'd like to start out with the first segment with Naomi. We're going to talk pork, livestock, and dairy. It's always good to talk to Naomi about dairy. And then in the following segment, we're going to talk about row crops. And we've got a WASDE report coming up next week. And, you know, it's about the time to start talking about that. And, yes, I think there's a lot of stuff to cover here right now. I'm going to try to keep it away from everything else that's going on in the world. Certainly we have to talk about China trade a little bit because that was in the news this week, but all the other noise, I don't know. I've had enough of it. I don't think we need to talk anymore about
to.
It. You know, whatever. It's there.
Well, I appreciate that approach. Yeah.
And it's the weekend and it's supposed to be great weather for most. So, you know, a lot of us do work in, but throw some pork chops on the grill and,
Pork chops.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry.
A couple adult beverages, and you know, it's gonna be a good weekend, right?
Sounds like
the focus.
It sounds like you read my playbook for this weekend, actually.
Yeah, buddy. All right. Well, what do you think? You got some news for us today?
Mr. I do. I'm not happy with what I wrote about wheat. Maybe you can shed some light on what's actually going on if I got it completely backwards here, but Wheat futures opened the session amid moderate price strength, which faded throughout the session. A hot and dry forecast for the U.S. and Russia was offset by forecast rains in European wheat growing areas, as well as the Black Sea region. Now, despite lackluster crop ratings earlier this week, traders appear to believe the wheat crop is in decent shape here in the U.S. and are focused on U.S. wheat's inability to compete for export business. July hard red winter wheat was down 11 cents, 461 and a quarter. July soft red softened 8 and one half cents, 515 and a quarter. July spring wheat fell 6¾ cents to close at 519 and a half. Okay, what did I miss there? What really happened in wheat today? Why are we down 11 in the July hard?
Yeah, all right. So it was a pretty decent slide here on a Friday. Yeah. But I really don't think you missed a whole lot in your comments there. What I would add to that, though, is we ran smack into some major resistance there. If you look at July Chicago wheat, we ran right into our 200-day, 50-day moving average, which are clustered right at yesterday's highs and this morning's highs. Like you said, we started off a little bit of strength, and we pulled back. Profit taking on a Friday, that's a very typical thing to see. We came back into this upward trending channel that we have been in. We went from the high end of that range to the low end of that range. That's not a problematic thing. That's just, I think, a normal sort of market thing. We'll be looking at weather very closely on Monday, and that'll dictate where we go from wheat. I don't think Friday was just more technical than anything else, in my opinion.
All right. Very good. Well, corn futures firmed slightly today on a round of light short covering after having held above key moving averages earlier this week. Weather risk curbed some selling interest with heat and rain expected near term in parts of corn country. Futures also got a lift from ethanol production, which continues to work its way higher. Traders acknowledge that the rhetoric between the U.S. and China regarding ag purchases has turned negative, but most reportedly believe China will eventually live up to its commitments, also limiting selling in today's trade. July corn futures gained 2¼ cents to 331 and a quarter. September corn was also 2¼ cents higher, 335 and a half. December corn closed at 345 and a quarter, up 2½ cents today. Man, a nice slow grind higher feels healthy for corn futures.
Yeah, absolutely right. Like you said, you know, short covering is sort of the name of the game at the moment. We had the funds really very short in corn, and they had been piling on to that position even though corn hadn't been going down. So now when you start breaking some of these technical issues in a climate where we normally have seasonal strength, yeah, we're going to start to see that happen a little bit. And I don't think producer selling has really been that strong. So I think there's more room to the upside. I'm optimistic here.
Well, Ted, soybean futures were tethered to unchanged by the close after extending overnight gains at the open. This morning's USDA daily export sales reporting service announced private exporters sold 258,000 metric tons of beans for delivery to unknown destinations, with 60,000 metric tons sold for old crop and 198,000 for new crop. USDA also reported another 330,000 metric ton sale of soybeans in the past week to unknown destinations, with 196,000 for old crop and 134,000 for new crop delivery. Ted, the suspected China buying is not unexpected, but does not really change the global balance sheet. July bean futures unchanged, 867 and three quarters. August beans up 1¼ cents, 870 even. November bean futures close at 879 and a half, up 2¾ cents. Beans, Ted.
Yeah, beans, right? And listen, you know, we're going to talk about this with Naomi. WASDE report next week could be interesting because I think you're going to see an increase in old crop carryover, but I don't know if that necessarily translates into a increase in new crop carryover. And if we're at a 400, and let's even say to 450 million bushel carryover in soybeans, well, that's a fairly tight number going into the growing season. So I think we need to add weather premium, and we're in the process of doing that.
All right. July cotton 179 points to higher to 61.79. December cotton gained 140 to 61.08. We got to get to Naomi, got to get to a break here on AgriTalk. But Ted, what say we hit these livestock closes at the top of the next segment?
That sounds like a plan. Everybody come on back to AgriTalk.
Everyone talks big yields, but Channel Seedsmen deliver advice that yields results. Every season, Channel Seedsmen match elite seed products with unmatched service and support to push the performance of every acre. That's why you can count on Channel for what you need to make the most of your season. You don't have to be a Channel customer to take advantage of this support. Visit channel.com/agritalk to sign up and receive expert advice that yields.
This special edition of AgriTalk is supporting Pork Week, paying tribute to pork producers who bring lean and nutrient-rich pork to your table. Coverage brought to you by Merck, PIC, United Animal Health, Alltech Hubbard, and Hypor. Learn more at porkbusiness.com.
Pork bellies.
Yeah, well, looky there. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal Davis Michelson here. Ted Seifert is, I don't know. Are you there, Ted? Did we lose you?
I'm here. Yeah.
Oh, no, hello.
Yeah. That was a very interesting intro to that segment there. That's okay.
I just thought you'd maybe nodded off a little bit.
Oh, yeah. No, I got the pork belly alarm clock going on. That was great. Good job. So, all right, man. Well, you know, we kind of cut you off at the end of the first segment on we were about to get into the livestock news for the day. So let's proceed down that trail, and why don't you go ahead and finish that up there, buddy?
For sure. Well, I don't feel any smarter about cattle futures than I did about wheat. Cattle futures were higher on the positive unemployment data, which raised hopes of a quicker than expected recovery in restaurant and food service demand for beef. But by the end of the day, futures had fallen back to close in negative territory. I don't know why. August live cattle futures were down 175 to 96.17 and a half, and December cattle softened to $1.20 to 103.82 and a half, and August feeders fell 55 cents to 134.17 and a half. Meanwhile, lean hog futures were mostly higher, although the front month contract was under light selling pressure. The solid unemployment data was supportive for deferred contracts today. July lean hogs were 35 cents higher, 53.92 and a half, and December hogs gained 157 and a half to 54.40. Ted, I don't know if maybe Naomi can shed some light on this. I've kind of got the same unemployment data mentioned, but it's two completely different responses from two completely different livestock markets.
Well, yeah, and the big thing for cattle was that, you know, we saw cash cattle trade 105. That was down about $12 to $13 from where we had traded last week or earlier even this week. So we had to have a response to that on the board, even though we're trading at such a large discount to cash. When you have a big drop in cash like that. Yeah, and I think we're going to get into that a little bit more with Naomi. I have some thoughts on that too, but I'm very curious to see what Naomi has to say on that. So in the meantime, thank you, buddy, for the recap on the news. As always, you are the man. And yeah, it's Friday. We can throw the compliments around all we want, right? I mean, yeehaw. But well, all right, without further ado, let's bring in Naomi Bloom from Total Farm Marketing. And by the way, Naomi has not changed companies. The company has changed. The new name, not new, it's been a little while, but I just wanted to kind of throw that out there, make sure everybody was on the same page. So Naomi, how's it going?
Wonderful. Thanks for having me on the show. It's great to visit with you.
Yes, and it's Pork Week. Woohoo!
It is. I'm so excited. I'm going to go get some pork chops at the grocery store right after this.
Pork chops.
Yeah, don't egg them on, Naomi. It's we're having a pork chops problem on the show today, so just saying. That sounds like a great idea. I would come over and join you, but, well, you know, life during wartime and all that. But, yeah. Well, you know, so let's get into that pork market. You know, kind of a mixed day there today. The deferred month's really finding some strength, looking good. But, you know, we still have the front month hogs under some pressure. What's the deal with the bear spreading?
Great question. I think what we're seeing a lot in this marketplace right now, I think, quite frankly, is just the opportunity to do the bear spreading because it's a safer way to maybe trade the hog market because of the volatility that had been there. So August contract, for those listening at home, 57.35 is where it settled today, up 157, where the nearby July finished at 53.92, so up 35 points. Hogs just feel like they're having a little bit of a short-term conundrum because the thought is, you know, the export market has been decent overall. It's been fantastic what we are sending out to China. Exports in China in April were 37% of all of the U.S. pork exports for the month. Right. So we are shipping out, and that's encouraging. But now there's this other thought process that our production numbers here at home are going to ramp up. More of the packing plants are going to be able to accommodate everything here. So it's having this mixed of emotion. That's why the market just feels like it's kind of stuck in a rut. It's trying to balance those two factors for the most part. And I think we're going to see some technical trading for the short term until we can get some further news established as far as are the exports still going to go. And I think this lower dollar is going to help that a lot. But we definitely want to be watching production numbers over the coming weeks. That's going to be the bigger factor overall.
Right. And those have really rebounded from, you know, when we had all the shutdowns. I mean, they've been coming back for both, you know, hogs and for cattle. Processors are really getting back together. But, you know, like you mentioned technicals. You look out at the December contract. And with what we did on Friday, which, by the way, December was up 157 on Friday or here today. And we broke through some very key technical resistance levels in the form of our 50-day moving averages and stuff like that. So, I mean, I look at that December chart and it looks like a screaming buy signal. Whereas if I look at the June or July, not so much. You know, is there a reason to think that further out in time, as we get into the late summer, fall, into winter time frame, we're a lot more optimistic for hog prices? Is this an upfront supply problem, but further on down the road, or is it a demand thing? Is it a demand pushed further down the road, or what do you see in there?
Well, I think it could be more of the demand thing. I mean, if China does continue to do this buying, I think it could last until the end of the year. Of course, that cautionary tale of, you know, they are doing their best to be rebuilding their herds, and they are making large facilities for pork production. Right. So, you know, we want to be mindful of that in the future, that all these exports maybe will not last forever. But for right now, it is looking good. And so I think you hit the nail on the head with those deferred contracts. It's going to be technical buying. It's going to be optimism that we see our export market continue to have some strength there to it, and maybe just in general, higher demand period.
Okay, so what are you telling producers to do with hogs right now as far as their marketing is concerned?
Well, for those who, for whatever reason, were needing to make sales, we're looking at re-ownership with these deferred contracts. I mean, like you said, technically speaking, they really look solid. I don't know that I would be doing much hedging here in the short term, but on a rally, I think I would definitely be focused on, at that point, turning things around and looking at buying puts. When you look at the December contract that you brought up, we did close above that big moving average today, the 40 and the 50 day, but there is a very, very large downtrending line that we need to get through that is from winter. And to get above that, we need to close above essentially 58.26. We need to close above the 100-day moving average. Mm-hmm. If we can see the market close above that, I think that takes us back into the mid-60s for prices, and we can retest the December highs and just get a little bit more strength and optimism there. And then we'll be taking a look at hedging and see where the demand situation is at that time.
So that's your target area. 64 to 68 is sort of what you're looking at for making.
If we can clear the 100-day moving average, and I think we'll find that out within the next week or two.
Okay. Very good. Okay, so I know it's pork week, but let's shift on over to the cattle market. You know, the big talk, and Davis was talking about it in the news, we've been at such a large discount to cash compared to where the futures are. What is the deal with that? Why is that happening?
Well, it's kind of normal to have that discount to cash, but it had been too wide.
$23 at times.
Too wide, way too wide, right. So the market was able to make up some ground on that. The futures contracts were able to climb higher, but now for the past week, we've been more trading sideways. It's like a tiger pacing back and forth in a cage. It's trying to wait to see where the demand is at. It's trying to understand where the cash market has come in at. Last week, we had fantastic cash market values up near like 118, I think I saw. And then today, I think I saw trade at closer to 105. So the cash market's kind of easing back down. And like you said on the show, the futures market needed to reflect that. But ultimately, if we can see these futures contracts on the board stay above the 40 and 50-day moving average, so specifically on the August contract, what that means is we need to stay above the 94 area. That's close to where the 50-day moving average is. If we can do that, I think that there may be some potential for some further upside, but kind of the same thing we were talking about with the hog market. cattle is going to be seeing bigger production coming down the road here. We're going to hopefully see these plants get more capacity available. So it's more of a waiting game, trying to really understand where the demand is, getting the meat back into restaurants. We're seeing a lot of restaurants where I live reopen. Wisconsin is being a little bit more progressive about reopening, and we have restaurants that are packed to the gills, the ones that are not doing social distancing, and we have other restaurants that are following the guidelines. But regardless, people are getting back out there. They're eating out. It's grilling season. I think the demand is there for the U.S. market. And we are seeing, you know, decent export demand. It's not quite what it was from maybe like a month ago, but it's not horrible. So a lot of things to be keeping an eye on there, too.
Absolutely. And I agree with you. I think that domestic demand is going to remain very strong. Everybody go out there and start grilling. But we're going to come back and talk about dairy and grains with Naomi Bloom. So come on back to AgriTalk.
Time now for headlines ripped from the pages of Pro Farmer's First Thing Today. U.S. soybean exports really need to pick up to reach USDA's export forecast for 2019-20. If China does not aggressively step up purchases soon, that forecast could come down. U.S. Trade Rep Bob Lighthizer says he feels very good about the trade agreement with China, which he said is doing a good job of honoring the pact amid the coronavirus pandemic. U.S. exports and imports both posted their largest monthly decreases on record in April. The OPEC cartel and its allies are set to extend production cuts through the end of July and could meet this weekend to sign off on the deal. With bean harvest complete, Argentine farmers are focused on harvesting corn and planting wheat. Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue is encouraging EPA to use any available flexibilities to allow the continued use of already purchased dicamba products. Get details on these and other stories from Pro Farmers First Thing Today by visiting tryprofarmer.com right now. Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. We've cleared the schedule for you. Give us a call at 855-482-5524 and join the conversation.
AgriTalk! AgriTalk! Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. This is Ted Seifert. We're going to put the rock in the rock and roll here on a Friday. Woohoo! And yeah, we've been talking to Naomi Bloom of Total Farm Marketing. And yeah, it's been a good conversation on the livestock. We're going to get into the grains, and I'd like to touch on dairy. We'll see what we have time for. But before we can do that, we'd like to go over and kick it back to Davis Michelson, Mr. Hanson Newsman, for a quick market recap. Take it away, buddy.
You betcha, Ted. All righty. Well, July hard red winter wheat down 11 cents, 461 at a quarter. July soft red off 8.5 to 515 at a quarter. July corn futures up 2.25 cents, 331 and one quarter. December corn futures close at 345 and one quarter, up 2.5 today. July soybean futures unchanged at 867.34. November soybeans closed at 879 and one half, up 2.75 cents. July cotton up 179 points to 61 and 79. On the livestock side, August live cattle futures down 175, 96, 17 and a half. August feeders fell 55 cents to 134, 17 and a half. And July lean hogs 35 cents higher at 53, 92 and a half. Make sure and stick around for the fourth segment, everybody. I want to talk about diesel, and I'm glad we've got Ted along for this. Because as kind of was the theme in the news, I don't know what to make of it. I just really don't. That's your quick market recap. Ted, back to you.
All right. You know, I meant to, in the beginning, or to start the segment, I meant to say we put the rock in pork week, but that didn't really make any sense.
No, it
did.
No, it makes a lot of sense.
Sausages.
Mm-hmm. Sausages. All right. Well, again, welcome back to Pork Week, everybody. We've talked about pork. Now we need to move on to the grains because that's what they eat. But, yeah, we've been talking to Naomi Bloom from Total Farm Marketing. Naomi, thanks for coming back. And, yeah, you know, lots to talk about here, specifically for the upcoming week. We've got the WASDE report coming out, and I want to go to something that we just heard about that was, you know, ripped from the Pro Farmer headlines in Davis's middle segment there. But soybean exports, you know, a lot of people talking about how soybean exports are way behind the pace that we need to hit the USDA's number. We're running out of time in this marketing year. So do you think the USDA is going to cut soybean exports for the old crop fairly dramatically on this upcoming WASDE? And what do you think that would do to a balance sheet if they did?
Great question. I'm not sure if they will or not, because if they do, I think that would say that they don't believe that China's going to come in and fulfill their duties sooner than later. So I think if they drop that negative bomb, they might wait until the July report. Exports, though, for soybeans just in the last week have been pretty darn good just from the daily sales. So maybe there's a little bit of hope, and then with this dollar dropping, we can maybe see some more purchases and get some more exports going sooner than later. If they did do a drop on the exports, though, and they lower the demand there, it would just really be unfortunate. You know, to see the ending stocks grow larger, that would really anchor the market down tremendously, you know. So with ending stocks right now for the old crop, we're at 480. We're at 580. With that 580, that would just really be a damper on the marketplace. So I don't know if they're going to do it on this next report. I think if they're going to do it, they might wait till July when it's a little bit more anticipated, but we'll see.
So correct me if I'm wrong, Naomi, but I think we would have to see record export sales every week. We'd have to average a record pace of export sales between now and the end of the marketing year to come close to the current USDA's estimate for
old crop. Call me an optimist, Ted. Call me an optimist, you know.
I mean, listen, there are a lot of ways that can happen. China comes in and starts buying 10 million metric tons a week. Hey, we're in business.
Right.
My point is that while we really need to see a lot of export sales to get to the current USDA's number for this marketing year, we've been seeing a lot of these daily sales, to your point, and a lot of them have been focused on next year. So I guess what I'm wondering is, you know, if the USDA were to, and maybe they do, maybe they don't, lower exports for old crop on this WASDE report, would that maybe be offset somewhat by an increase in exports for next marketing year? Because at a 405 million bushel carryover for new crop, that's not a very big carryover number in my book, you know?
No, it's not. But, I mean, they already lowered it in May. So in April, the export number was 1.775 billion bushels. In May, they lowered it to 1.675. So they acknowledged the situation then. They might, Ted. They could definitely lower it next week, but maybe they can do it because the North Dakotans are going to be resurveyed and we're going to find out better what their harvested numbers and their yields were. Maybe that's a way for the U.S. to lower the export number with ease without doing too much damage to the balance sheet. And they've got the new crop exports over 2 billion bushels, which is phenomenal. So maybe you're right, Ted. Maybe they try to feed it over into the new crop year. So there's a lot of surprises that can happen on Thursday. And in the market, I think right now, we're stuck right at that 100-day moving average on charts. And so this is a very significant technical area. If we can see a push higher through here, I think you see a 25-cent move in a heartbeat. But again, it's going to take a weather issue and something friendly to happen on Thursday and some more export sales next week to make that happen.
Yeah, so you talked about surprises. I love surprises. What kind of surprises do you think we could see on this WASDE report?
The only surprise that would potentially be there, in my opinion, would be if we see any reduction on the supply from old crop, just again, because this is when the North Dakota data is released. So I'm not quite sure what the market is thinking could occur yet. We haven't seen any pre-report expectations to my knowledge, but that might be something that's a surprise. The report last year in June was bullish to the market and we had a tremendous response to the upside for price, but sometimes this June report is when the marketing year high comes in too for the grains for the summer rally. So this is a pretty big pivotal point. With the corn, I'm really curious what they do with ethanol because they have been lowering corn use for ethanol demand on the last two reports. They probably lower it again on this upcoming report. I think that's expected. But what do we see then for demand for feed? Where are we going to see, again, the supply number come in for old crop, again, going back to the North Dakota numbers?
Right. Yeah, so there's a lot of, as there always is, usually is, there's a lot of moving parts potentially on this upcoming WASDE report. But that aside, I mean, if you just look at what we're seeing on the charts and the time of year and everything like that, What is your feeling on corn and soybean prices? Where do you think we go from here?
I think we go steady to higher. I really do. We haven't traded any weather premiums into this market yet. Funds are still short over 250,000 contracts. So that in and of itself, if they just exit short positions, corn. If they exit those short positions on corn, just that in and of itself, I think, is a 40-cent rally on futures. Emphasis on futures. If they have any reason to go long, you know, I think that would take a weather issue. But I think there's still a lot of potential there. I just, before I picked up the phone to call you, there's an article out there talking about how crude oil potentially could be back up towards $70 a barrel by fall, because there's ideas that production cuts were overcut. Now, if we got crude oil going back up to $70 a barrel, that'll bring those ethanol plants online sooner than later. So, you know, I'm always a little bit more optimistic. I'm a realist. If the funds weren't, if the funds had already been exiting short positions and if they were almost long 100,000 contracts, I would throw some caution flags out here right now. But I think there's some room to run, and that dollar dropping is so important, too, has really been helpful.
Yeah, right. And where do you think of that dollar? Will that continue to drop? I mean, we've thrown trillions of dollars of stimulus into this economy. And it's really been actually, at least in my opinion, very surprising how well the stock market has responded and just gone straight up here in the last few weeks. That seems inflationary to me. I mean, do you think we'll see more pressure on the dollar? Or do you think the rest of the world will start over-stimulating their economies as well, and we get back to a situation that we had in 2009 and 2010?
Well, I think for the short term, the next couple of weeks, the dollar pushes a little lower because it's got the momentum going to retest the lows from March, which takes us down to about the 95 area. But then, just like you said, we could probably see a bounce back higher from that. But, you know, all we need is 2 weeks of the market going lower and that real still climbing higher to make us more attractive in the export world. So, you know, I think there's some potential there for the next couple of weeks to see that dollar go down, which would be great for us, for our exports. But then you're right, might see that bounce back up.
Yeah, and, you know, for the most part, we look at bean prices, us versus Brazil, and we're already kind of there. I mean, we are competitive, more so than we have been in quite some time. So that could be optimistic and could actually explain some of these sales that we've been seeing pretty much on a daily basis. So that's great. Now, listen, Naomi, whenever we have you on the show, we love to talk about dairy because, you know, you're one of the few people that really know what's going on in the dairy market. So I guess my question for you is, you know, lower dollar, you know, COVID shutdown, everything that we've had going on in the news for the past couple of months, how is that affecting dairy and where do we go from here?
Yeah, so the dairy market has had a really Cinderella story as of late. In early April, you know, you saw pictures of farmers in Wisconsin having to dump their milk just because of the supply chain issues. Prices got down to $10.68 for milk futures, class 3 milk futures, which is, like, I would say kind of the equivalent of like 250 or 275 corn on the board, just something that just makes you want to vomit. It's just that horrible.
Cringe.
But since that price low in late April, milk has rallied over $9. We hit $20, which is now kind of the equivalent of $5 corn, if I can kind of draw a parallel. It's huge. It's significant. So what's happened is that the farmers were asked to cut their production of milk by 10 to 20% to help, you know, deal with getting product through all of the processing plants. So we have lower production that's being affected. And now the demand for cheese has been phenomenal. The cheese buyers have been coming in with gusto because restaurants are opening back up. But also when everybody's been home,
frozen pizzas, everyone. Let's do
pizza.
This. Yes.
Big time. Big time. I mean, we're having probably 4 frozen pizzas a week at our place because my kids have been home. I'm like, okay, here, feed yourself. Put a pizza in the oven. You know, figure it out. So if you have most families in America doing that, you got a reason for that milk price to rally. So we've had a great, tremendous rally, but now we're at the point of $20 milk is kind of a big deal. It's high. So we're going to see what production does in the coming weeks, and then we'll go from there.
All right. Naomi, thank you so much. I love having you on the show. You always bring so much great insight. Have a great rest of your weekend and enjoy some pork for us. Everybody else, come on back to AgriTalk. We've got fuels and pork coming up.
This season, while work for you may have changed, our season is underway. American agriculture, farms on. For our family and yours.
Welcome back.
Even if
to
they
Agri
are
Talk,
listening to Canadians, yeah.
Welcome back to Agri Talk, everyone. My name is Ted Seifert, and filling in for Chip Flory here on Friday, the final day of Pork Week. It's Pork Week, everybody! Woohoo! Celebrate however you see fit. Pork chops, pork chops.
Dad, is this David Bowie? Sounds a little like David Bowie. No?
You would find that. Like, you're the only person I know that would find that. That's
I can't take credit for that. My hands are on the desk here. That was Big Apple Joe Stackler himself. And I don't know if he pulled that from his personal collection or if he went and sought that out special for Pork Week. I know what my suspicion is.
It's karaoke night.
Hey!
Karaoke night, of course.
All right. Well, that was a special treat. Thank you for that, Joe. it's Friday, everybody. Yay! Oh, so what are you going to do this weekend, Davis? What's the thing? What should we all go do this weekend, Davis?
I think what I'm going to do, and we did this last weekend as well. It looks like it's going to be pretty decent weather. I'm taking the canoe out.
Yeah.
And that has nothing to do with pork. You know, we will fire up the grill. I was kind of just thinking over, I'm probably going to run to town here after the show and see if I can pick up some delicious, fresh meat of some kind. You know, grill out, maybe a little campfire. You mentioned adult beverages. There may be several of those involved throughout the course of the weekend. You know, just kind of chill a little bit and not watch the news. I'm staying away from the news.
No news watching. Oh.
Clearing it out.
No. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah, what time should
I'll find out what happened when I sit down to write the news on Monday. I'll find out what happened.
Yeah, that's what I do pretty much. Well, no, so at about 5 o'clock Sunday night, I have to start paying attention, or I have to do my recap because, right, grain market's opening at 7 Central. It's like, all right, what am I going to, what nightmare is going to happen this week? So
yeah, what dumpster fire did I miss this weekend?
Exactly. Yeah, fun stuff. But canoe and grill and tasty adult beverages. That sounds like a wonderful weekend. I highly encourage everybody to do something similar if possible. But good stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think if the weather holds out here, I will be spending a lot of time not in a canoe, but hopefully outside and definitely grilling. That is absolutely. But hey, buddy, it's Friday, right?
Mm-hmm. It is.
And that means that you like to talk about fuels and fert, right?
Correct, sir. The Friday Farm Fuels and Fertilizer Report is a service of Pro Farmers Inputs Monitor for weekly updated fuels and fertilizer prices from across the Midwest and in your crop district. Visit profarmer.com. And now, Ted, the Friday Farm Fuels and Fertilizer Report. Speaking of not paying attention to the news, I have been paying attention to the news very closely in the fuels and fertilizer segment. And I can tell you, as far as fertilizer news goes, it is a boring. The big story here, listeners, over the past several weeks, we've been talking about the spreads that I watch within my own little analysis here. Last week, our composite index claimed a premium to 1 acre of expected new crop revenue. This week, we saw lower fertilizer prices, and that pushed our composite index back down to a discount in the amount of about 11 points. Close call, folks. It does look like since the season, we're into side dress now. Okay, fine. There's some risk in anhydrous. There's some risk in UAN solutions and even a little bit in urea. But the demand push for spring is certainly over. And I think we can expect lower prices moving forward, at least until we get a little bit closer to harvest. And then, you know, we'll see a slight hump for post-harvest activity. But let me run these down for you. Anhydrous ammonia disappointed me just a little bit. I thought we were going to get back below $500 per short ton. We're at $500.85 per short ton. This week, we're down $4.41 regionally there. But look, here's Minnesota down $35. Wisconsin's off $10. Michigan down $7. It was mostly declines or unchanged. Here's North Dakota up $4. South Dakota up $2.86 on anhydrous. Pretty mild price action there. Same deal with DAP and MAP. Phosphates were both lower this week, the ones that we cover anyway. DAP was off 36 cents to 424.12, and MAP was down 30 whole cents to 420.46. This spread still out of whack. I've been saying this week after week after week. We expect about a $15 premium in MAP, and we're actually at about a $4 discount to DAP there. So something's going to have to happen there to refigure that spread. Or maybe, you know, maybe these are just unprecedented times, Ted. It seems like maybe they are. Vitamin K like potash was...
Maybe they are.
Yeah. Yeah, they do seem unprecedented. Vitamin K potash up 64 cents, 357.48. UAN 28% solution down 40 cents, 244.43 regionally. 32% is down $2.24, 273.90. Urea down $1.90, 385.49 regionally. All told, our nutrient composite index softened 1.83 points to 539.74, about 100 points below year ago. The other thing that I wanted to talk about is diesel. I titled my article, "This Must Be the Bottom, ... right? I don't know. I've been looking for the bottom here. We thought maybe there was a bottom in place last week. We thought maybe there was a bottom in place at $1.60, but no. We're down another 9 cents, $1.39. in your regional average farm diesel price. I'm not quite sure what to do here. The price is so dang low that, hey, look, if you're not convinced that you've got to be the guy that picks the bottom price, the very price floor to book, hey, man, get out there and book some diesel. Great opportunity in case we see higher prices. If we do see that $70 crude oil, you know, you're definitely going to see the impact of that in your farm diesel. So we're at $1.39 regionally this week. Most states unchanged. Those that did fell hard. So I don't know. Measure your appetite for risk. If you're asking me, should I book for harvest now? Yeah, why not? Sure.
Yeah.
Let's get it locked in. $1.39. Are you kidding me? Yeah.
I'm with you, buddy. All right.
Yeah.
And speaking
get
of
proformer.com. Yes.
Yeah. I just got a text from Chip saying, "I love pork. Happy pork week, everybody." Again, this is Ted Seifert of Zaner Ag Hedge. Have a wonderful weekend. Thanks for listening. Take care, everybody.